You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
I look forward to talking to you, Brian.
For sure, man. So the first question I'm curious about is, when people ask you, what do you do? How do you answer that?
That's a great question. Uh-huh. Right now, I'm a consultant, for young kids, because I coach basketball for 30 years. So I'm a consultant in a lot of ways, to train them, to give them direction,
right,
and to understand the business of what's going on out there and what people are trying to sell to them.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So how did this journey start of you becoming a consultant? Like, when did it all really begin for you?
Well, and I coached basketball at Georgia Tech. I coached for 30 years. And in 2000, when I got out of the business in Atlanta, my friends, who one of them still my partner, bought a facility, a very large facility, basketball facility, in the Suwannee suburb of Atlanta. And they brought me in to because of my name, coming from Georgia Tech, and just to bring people into the building for all different reasons. And I was like a fish out of water, even though I was associated with basketball for 30 years, not in this way. Trying to train kids. I never trained kids one-on-one or, and started teaching the game to, individuals. We had camps when I was a coach and enjoyed the camps when the young kids came in, but nothing to this extent. And so I came in, and there's a big missing point. Basketball's changed in this country from the time I grew up, how it's taught at the early ages, and then all of a sudden this travel ball thing came involved when I was at Georgia Tech in the early 90s. So I was kind of shocked when I started training, and all kids wanted to do was get on the travel team. They didn't even want any kind of instructions or fundamentals. So they got the whole thing backwards. They're putting the cart before the horse. So my job, I started going, okay, I know what I'm going to do. And I'm going to start, trying to teach them. You got to do it this first, and then go that route. Because playing the game, just playing a game, be a pickup, whatever, that's part of, the learning process. But just playing the game is not, you got to do something else. You got to learn how to skills-wise individually. So that's how I got in, And then I got in, and that was the way it went. But I'll tell you what happened. We were trying, because of the online stuff coming on, I was going really hard at training, filming drills online and trying to sell it that way and trying to drill and drill and drill. And Brian, we were running to a wall because the kids, they didn't buy into it. They really didn't buy into it. We were trying to sell it. Sure, a handful of kids. And then what I was doing, training kids, and then I was preparing them so they could go to college and get some type of part scholarship, not Division I players. And I was doing a good job, but onesies, twosies here and there, every year, girl, boy. And because I knew the system. I knew first you had to be good enough. And then you get evaluated, and I knew how to get evaluated. I knew how to get kids evaluated. And so it was, like I say, it was really slow. And so we went about 8 years doing that.
Wow.
And nothing was coming about. Yeah. And now, obviously, I had another job. I was managing the facility and getting paid through that. But the online stuff was not going the way we thought it would go. So just to continue with it, we decided that my partner did, and I did too, that, we're selling this thing to the wrong people. And our target audience are the parents. And we're kind of pushing the kids to learn how to drill and all that stuff. And so we decided that, I was going to write a book, and the Parents Guide to Youth Basketball and Beyond. And actually we said, hey, we're going to teach the parents. Now this has nothing to do with how parents, today are looked in the youth sports world, which is negative, because of the way they act and all that. That's not what this is about. We were going to teach the parents the guide to how to go to get your child from when they start to play and what the things you're going to run into, and you know how your child's going to get make a team, not make a team. How do you act?
Right.
What do you do? Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing, everything we do now is centered around parents and selling it to parents. And we've gotten a very good response because now our target audience understands what we're doing. And you know what, Brian? Very little of it, almost none of it right now is about doing the drills and training. We don't have any of that. I mean, almost.
Really? Wow.
That's going to come. You know, we have that as a product coming out, you know, when parents can buy that. But that's right now. It's we're trying to, like I said, the book, and on my book is just a foundation for the business. The book is just everything you'll go through. First of all, I give a history of how Travel Ball started, and it wasn't around. Parents today think that, and Travel Ball has gone into all sports now, but it wasn't around 30 years ago, so that they really truly believe it's been there forever. But anyway, I give the history, and then how recruiting goes, and I do talk about the book about, you know, the fundamental, the individual skills. So everything that's in the book is going to be, on my website, we go deeper into all the things in the book. Everything is a foundation. The book is a foundation. It wasn't about making money from the book. It was about just a foundation so we could go and take little bits and pieces. And so that's what we did. And the way we do it, we just, like, I have video blogs, 2 to 3 minute video blogs, where I talk about just subjects that parents will run into, you know, about putting too much pressure on their rec coach or their travel team coach, because I tell them those people are great people, they volunteer, but they're only parents. You can't look at them, even though they call them coach, they're not coaches. And today our parents today look at coaches as on the sidelines, that are parents, as the savior. They're going to teach my child, you know, how to play, teach them all the stuff, and they can't do it. And the time allotted for them to do what they're doing is not, it's impossible. Mike Krzyzewski could be a coach of the travel team, and he would be a good coach, because you don't have the time to create a team. And then I'll give you a whole 2-3 minutes how a team is created. So it gives them, it shows them that, yeah, you know what? And what I'm trying to do is take the pressure off the travel team coaches, because, you know, people screaming and yelling at them like they're, you know, the savior. So that's what the whole thing is about, putting everything in perspective and let them know, because they get into this travel world and everything's out of control, screaming and yelling. And I give them the reasons why they need to look at it differently. Just look at their child. That's the only thing important. And things like that. There's so many teaching opportunities during a game to teach the tools of life. And parents at home want their child that teaching character skills, and they're teaching respect. But for whatever reason, Brian, when they start to play in the sport, they throw all that stuff out the window.
Really?
there's such great moments. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a college coach, that's all you do. You're teaching the tools of life at the same time, because kids are not starting. They're upset. You know, you teach them how to handle all that. You know, and parents could do the same thing when their child's playing youth sports, be it high school, whatever, and they just overlook it. It's just a super opportunity to do it, and they're just looking at the score and all that stuff. So that's basically, we went after the parents, and that's what we do.
I see. Kevin, for those of us who don't understand what travel ball is, what is that exactly?
Okay. Yeah, what happened was is in the well, I'll give you the whole thing. It's really a fascinating story, because everything in sports now, the advertisement, everything started with Nike. And what happened in before, I'll put it into college perspective, say before, which was 1985, 84, before that, as a recruiter, all you could do is see high school games and maybe go to a summer camp to find players. That's all you had. And the high school games were during the college season, so it was really, really difficult to have your season and go find players. It wasn't easy, but that's all it was. And then in 1984, 85, Nike decided, Never before was there any advertisements for athletic stuff ever. This is the first time it was done. And then it's now, obviously, it's gone off. You know, we all know how it is today. But so Nike decided they would invite the 200 top players in the country to Princeton, New Jersey. And they're going to give them all. And Michael Jordan, great basketball player, just signed with Nike and became, you know, super hit with the sneakers.
Right.
So they were trying to figure out how can they get the next Michael Jordan. So they were invited the top 200 high school players, be it sophomores, juniors, rising seniors, to Princeton. They were going to outfit them in, fly them in, no matter where they're from, California, wherever. And then they were going to give them all Nike gear. And that was it. Hoping that those kids would just get attached to Nike. And one day they would, you know, when they go pro, they would sign on with Nike. And so that after 2 years, the person that started that, I'm going to stay out of names, but the person that started, I've done a lot of stories on this man. He's a very good guy. He's still in the press and all that about different things in college basketball. But he was the one that started and created the idea at Nike. Well, they, for whatever reason, he left Nike and he went to Adidas. Now,
right.
He went and used the same concept and he had the camp at the same time. So now 200 kids. So when that 200, first of all, I have to step back. When that 200 guys showed up in Princeton, that was like for guys at Georgia Tech and the big time schools, that was like Nirvana. I mean, that was the greatest thing ever that we saw. 200 best players playing against each other. And we thought it was the greatest thing. And then now this Adidas starts the same thing. And they're going to do the camp at the same time. Because now Adidas is going to fight Nike. Who's going to get the kids at the camp? Now you have 400 of the best players. 200 at Nike and Adidas. We'll make it a long story short. Now the NCAA steps in and says, wait a minute. You can't be flying kids in and give them gear. That breaks the amateur rule. So both Nike and Adidas said, well, we're still wanting to do this. We want to get kids interested in our product. They created teams, regional teams, and they sponsored them, which you could do. That wasn't against amateur rules. So they really did the same thing. So they got a team out of New York. They made a team in New York, and they gave them gear, and they gave them enough money for the team to go to events. And slowly what happened was, college coaches started to go into these tournaments. Only Nike would play in a Nike tournament, then Adidas. But then outside people started having tournaments where just anybody could play. And that was the creation of Travel Ball. And that was it. Mm. And that's how it all started. And that's how advertisements and that's how, you know, I'll give you LeBron James, great basketball superstar. He was, how all that works, he played for Adidas teams all the way through, you know, he didn't go to college, but all the way through his younger years. And when he signed, when he got to the pros, he signed with Nike. So the loyalty thing changed.
Wow.
Yeah, but they still do it. They still do it. But that created a whole business that's so deep. They started paying college coaches, Adidas and Nike, to wear their shoes at teams. And now they actually pay a whole athletic department to sign on with Nike. So everybody in an athletic department, college, wears that brand. So that was the beginning of it. And that's how it started. And that's what Travel Ball is. So kids now, these teams go down to 8-year-olds. And there's tournaments all over the place. And college coaches cannot go to them. But it's the mentality, wow, this was all back when. And that's what it is. So everybody wants to play Travel Ball, thinking it's going to help them get recruited. But the one thing they've stopped, and we never did, they don't get the fundamentals anymore. That's why I have so many international players playing in college and in the pros now, because they're fundamentally sound, where our players, our kids are not. So that was that was bottom line. That's where I was going with all the stuff I was doing. And at first I was trying to get the kids to understand it, the training part of it, but that was going nowhere. And then now I get into the parents' mind and try to now slowly teach the parents this how it is. and it's much better because you're dealing with people who understand it, and also the kids are kids. You know, they don't understand most of the time. Don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So that's basically what travel ball is. And now I have it in baseball, and so you have businesses making a lot of money off of families telling them this and that, and come here and this and that. So when you get to a junior in high school, they'll say, "Come here. We're going to give you. We're going to get all your stuff sent to all the colleges." And that's just propaganda. And so kids sign up for it, and they think it's going to happen. And so it's just they got to learn. And I'm doing a piece now, and I'm teaching the parents. I haven't got it out on the market yet, but how do college coaches recruit? That's more important, not how businesses say they recruit. And so I'm doing a whole thing and exactly how every level of college recruits, which is totally different from what they're being sold.
Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show. I see. So, Kevin, what inspires you to keep working on these kids all the time?
Well, I think I was born. I mean, I play college ball. I always I have a family of 9 brothers and sisters, and every one of them played high school ball. And I'm older, second oldest in the family, and I'd go home and teach them, train, you know, teach them what they need to do. And then it was instinctively, and I just became as a caretaker. In college, I played, and I just did it when I was a junior in college with new recruits. And then I got out of, when I graduated, I became a Division I coach at Appalachian State. And then from there, I was assistant. Then I became a head coach. And then I went on to Georgia Tech. And I just enjoyed, even on that level, working individually with players that were in our program. And so I could have stayed in the game when I got out, 2001. But when this opportunity came up at Suwannee Sports Academy, you know, I was going, you know what, I've always liked just working individual. And it's still this day. I'm still training kids and trying to get them on a path to play college basketball. And it's just there. I mean, I'm driven by it. I mean, I'm just driven by it. So it's something inside the DNA. That's all I know.
That's great. So Kevin, since you like the one-on-one so much, how come the online model came out?
Well, my partner, you know, it was like, it was a new thing. It was a new
right.
thing. This is 2001. It was a new thing. And I look back at now, and now I know things. We didn't do it the right way, the way we taped. So I was taping drills to let people buy a packet of drills so they could go fundamental drills to teach the fundamentals. Because young parents didn't know how to teach the fundamentals. You know, I learned from parents. But back then, everybody did the fundamentals, so it wasn't parents knew how to do it. But that, it just didn't go. And, you know, I look at the way we did our videos, which were, they were just too hard to get to a drill and then go to another drill. We just didn't do it right. And it wasn't going anywhere. And then we just really canned that whole thing, I left the academy, and then I went straight to train kids individually on my own, and using that model to write the book, which is, you know, training and then teaching them. If they're good enough, I'll get them in front of college coaches, because I know college coaches. They're, you know, just been in the business so long. And then, you know, we that way. So and when we went to the parents, you know, I'm not going to try to tell the parents right away on drills, you know. So we went to the parents and we're going inside and teaching them the little things. And I'm not jumping in and say you shouldn't. First of all, they need to be playing travel ball because that's part of the process of playing, learn how to play. You got to play games. When I grew up, we played pickup games in the park, you know, and I might play 10 pickup games a day. Just a bunch of guys playing. Well, today, I look at travel ball as organized pickup games. That's all they are. You know, and that's what they are. Mm-hmm. They have officials, they have all, but they're organized pickup games. So there's nothing wrong with travel ball, but it's expectations. So I teach parents, it's your expectations is what you have to straighten out, you know. And so I do it in everything. Expectations. When you go to an event where they say they're going to send all your material to college coaches, you know, you got to have expectations. Don't think that that's the bottom line for you to get in touch with college coaches. There are other ways, which I'm teaching them, which is a product I'm coming out with. So that's basically it. And now another part of the product. Now, if they really want the skills part, then we're finalizing a much better skills thing where there is training videos, you know, they could get, you know, if they really want to. And I have a lot of them asking me, will you talk about it? And I said, well, it's coming out, but you can get some of it this way. And I just, because all of our video blogs, they comment and they call and then they can call me. And so I spend a lot of time talking to parents because they get very interested in the book. And so there's a call where they pay a certain amount. As a matter of fact, about tomorrow, I got three of them. They call and it could be a fifth grader. Just call me with what's on their mind, the things that they thought, that what they read, they need a little more information on it. So that really helps. And that tells you if you're hitting some nerves, you know, I know I'm going to hit nerves because I know the business. I know what's out there. I watch it. But parents don't know. Then all of a sudden they read something, they go, ooh, I'm going through all that right now. You know, so
I see.
And then they call me and they set up a call. We have a calendar. They're allowed to pick a time and they call me. So, and I enjoy doing it because I'm just an honest guy. I want to tell them and they'll call me and they'll say, they'll pay for a half hour call. And I'm going to be on the phone for an hour and a half.
Right.
And it just goes, I'll go deep and deep and deep. I put myself in, I don't know. I just talk to myself sometimes. I want to do it. So I do it.
Hmm. So Kevin, was the move towards online and all these online products, is it to reach more people or is there another mission behind it?
Oh no, it's to reach more people. And it's, you know, the good part about me, my background is I know so many, you know, we're trying to get into these recreational centers of people that have, they run these businesses where they have tournaments and they have just an incredible amount of mailing lists, you know, and, so that's, you know, that's AAU, which is, you know, it's been around for hundreds of years. And so we were on the AAU website and they push, you know, our book and that's where I get in there all over the country. So you get to more people. I mean, I'm amazed how easy it is. Matter of fact, my partner's probably early 60s. He said, boy, and he's been in business, is very... you know, self-made, great in business, very, very successful. Never went to college. And he just said to me one day, he says, man, this is back when we was doing the book. He says, it's unbelievable. I wish I was 30 years younger because you can get to so many people now.
Uh-huh.
And he said, all sorts of ways, Twitter, all that stuff. And he says, you can get to so many people. And it's so true. I mean, it's amazing. You know, did the California. I have facilities in California calling me. And then we just send, you know, most of the stuff on my website is all free. You know, all these blogs, all that stuff's free. You know, all the purpose is to get them, the bottom line, Brian, in the thing is to get them to know me, you know, and then try to sell them something a little deeper, you know. And so a lot of our stuff is, most of it, it's all free, you know. And the telephone's not, and the recruiting thing's not going to be, it's not going to be that expensive. But after they get to listen to me on the, you know, the blogs, the video blogs, then they, you know, see if they like what I say or am I sincere. And then, you know, and so far it's working out pretty good.
That's great. Wow. So What do you use to monetize the brand right now? Is it the online courses or is there something more?
You know, that'd be more for my partner because he visions stuff. I'm so into the content and what I'm going to say. He visions
I see.
all this, and when he starts talking like that with me, I go, "This Pat, his name is Pat." I go, "Pat, don't waste my time because I can't go where your head is." And he just sees all because he feels that, you know, if you're going to, he does tell me this, and I agree with him. He says if you're going to sell something. So let's just say I'm going to do the skills thing. I'm going to sell skills online, you know, drills and stuff. He totally believes that right while you're doing that, you got to be selling something else. As it doesn't have to be to the skills. It could be the recruiting, or you want to, or the phone call. You know, that's a product. You know, just those are products. Selling those phone calls to me, and he truly believes. You know, you don't just sell one and there's nothing, and that's it. He wants the one product we're selling to lead into another one, you know, within the business, obviously, within the
Right.
business. So, and he has this. Since I have to make the content for the product, it just sometimes mind boggles me. And I tell him to slow down. I say, I can't right now. I'm trying to get through this from here. But he's
Sir.
right. He's right. You know, I'm doing this end of this recruiting thing. So I'm going to teach parents how college coaches recruit. Okay, and he's talking about, all right, now we got to sell something at the end. We got to lead them into something else. And all I can think about, I haven't really said anything to him. All I can think about is calling me and sending me videos of their child. What age? I don't know. I'm not going to take a kid when he's eighth grade or seventh grade, but and let me over the video and with a phone call, you know, maybe evaluate. Their child, can they play college basketball? Can they not? Or what level? You know, so I can see that as a product, but I just don't know. I think every parent would think their child's a college player, and 99% of them aren't. So I don't know what that would. I don't know how that would go as far as, you know, time consuming. I don't know, but that's the way I can see selling the recruiting thing I'm doing now. To another product, which would be letting me evaluate their child. And
So,
he truly believe, and I
yeah.
believe in that. I think it's true. If you're going to have products, just keep letting them go into another one.
I see. So, Kevin, when did you decide to that you were going to partner up with Pat? And do you think it was a smart decision to, since it seems like you're wearing the creative hat and Pat is wearing the business hat, right? Do you think that's a good decision for both of you guys?
Oh yeah, because I couldn't have done. Man, yeah, because he's the one. You know, first of all, he was a part of the owners at the sports facility we had, and he was just that. He's a business guy, and he got really into this online stuff, and that's where he started going. And he's the one that said, you know, we made a mistake. We went after the wrong target audience. You got to get that target audience instead of going after the kids. He said, we got to go after the parents. And then he's the one that did it. Now he's the business guy, and I have all the contacts and I have the content. Even though I helped. Well, ironically, I helped his son go to college and play Division I basketball, and he
Wow,
was struggling
that's
to
crazy.
figure out how to do it. Yeah. I helped him and plus a couple of my other partners, and that said, you know what you're doing. I said, I know what you're doing. That's what I did all my life, and so Pat's also has a lot of knowledge in basketball in this world. You know, he's been in this world that we're in now, the youth basketball world. And youth basketball is just anything under college. It's high school, you know, travel ball, all that stuff. And so he knows it. He understands it.
That's great. So, Kevin, if you could go back to your younger self, what's maybe when you were coaching before, what's one thing that you would have told yourself?
Well, you know, in our business, the big thing was is, well, this is deep because in our business, when I got in it, there was no travel ball. So the kids were all pretty they're pretty mentally, they knew how to work on their own and their individual skills. And see, when you're in college coaching, you're not privy to it. You don't know what, I didn't know what youth basketball was going on, youth basketball. I knew there was travel ball out there, but I didn't know it was destroying the game. Kids were just coming out. And now when I got out of it, I look back to my last 5, 6 years of college. I said, you know what? The kids we got at Georgia Tech were not fundamentally sound. I knew that, but I didn't realize why. And you know what? The other thing, when you're not fundamentally sound, that means you never worked hard on your own. And kids stopped learning how to work hard on their own because they were never taught to. So I look back now, but I don't know how a college coach, even today, would. They don't know what I know. They're out there trying to get players and win. They don't know the depth of how bad it is, you know, why it happened. So I don't know. I think that's the only thing I recognize. But I don't know how I would have recognized it, you know, because you're in your little world, college basketball. You know,
right.
I don't go – in college basketball, you don't go to youth games. I mean, you go to – you're not allowed to recruit very much anyway. But so you're not inside that side of it. So that's it. And I've had a very blessed, spiritual, helped whole basketball life. And sometimes coming from 10, from the family of 10 in New York City, I'm blessed. How I got in the game, how I got lucky to get in. And so I just look at it. And sure, there's been mistakes when I was coaching, and there's a lot of mistakes now. But it keeps going. I just keep going, going, wake up thinking about it, keep going. So.
Right. I see. All right. Kevin, so what's the vision? Like, what's the 5 to 10 year vision from now for your coaching, your business, everything?
Well, to keep doing what I'm saying, you know, 5 to 10. The good part about this business, Ryan, is this too. The book I wrote is about 2 years old now. It's never going to change. I mean, you're getting a new group of parents coming on, you know, so the book is not going to go, but, you know, as long as we keep putting it out there, there's a new group of parents, you know, kids starting to play basketball. There's a new group of parents that are got kids in high school that are trying to get recruited. So everything we do is going to be, you know, we could come up with more topics we hit on, which we do. But it's going to stay the same thing. But now we got the recruiting product coming out, which is going to be huge. And I have to keep changing because the rules in college basketball, recruiting rules change. So I have to change with the recruiting rules, you know, when coaches can do this and when they can do not do this. And that gets really deep. But I don't try to teach the parents that stuff. I just try to make it really simple with them. But I have to stay up on top of that. But other than that, you know, I hope, you know, I think slow down. Yeah, I hope it'll slow down because writing a book and doing the blogs and doing that, it does wear on me. That does wear on me. But I think I guess you can keep coming up with topics, as my partner says. But I don't see how I can keep coming up with topics. But he, for some reason, he keeps finding them.
Right.
You know, uh-huh. Within a thing, I go, all right, yeah, I see. He just takes something and goes deeper. It could be a topic, and then he goes deep into the topic. He goes, there's another topic. I go, you know what, you're right. So that's it's just going to keep going the same way. And I think we have the online, the website, and I think, you know, we should do different things here. But I think we have the, I guess, the target audience and who we're going after, all that we feel good about. And now we just have to keep, you know, refreshing it. And we have to now, you know, make sure we hit the new parents. Kids are playing ball, fifth graders, fourth graders, third graders. And then the ones, we just got to keep it out there. So it's, you know, it's in the market at these different facilities. You know, we go to facilities, you know, rec centers, all this stuff. So that's what I see. You know, I'm getting old, so I have to watch it.
Right. I see. All right, Kevin. So thanks for joining, telling us your journey. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience out there listening?
No, I really appreciate it, Brian, because you got me
for
thinking
sure.
When you were asking me. I've never been asked. I'm usually in the basketball people's world, and so it's, you know, but that was interesting asking me, and I was thinking. And, yeah, I just, anybody who understands it, and you can give it, even if you're not into basketball, but you might know families or parents, that have children that's starting out to play, you go to my website. It's Kevin Cantwell, CantwellBasketball.com. And then on there, Amazon, the book is Parents Guide to Youth Basketball and Beyond. And that's on the website. And I think it's $11, something like that. And it really has so much information in it for youth, for families, parents who have kids playing youth basketball. And so that's, you know, I'd like to pass that on. But it doesn't have to be you. It could be anybody. It could be aunts, uncles, neighbors. You know, let them know about it.